Sessions. I believe Pastor Nate records in the morning, which is at 10 o'clock on Wednesdays. And then we also put these recordings out, and then Bethany puts them out there sometime during the week. Like Friday-ish?
Friday, Saturday.
So they'll hit eventually. Tonight we're in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. And I'll start. And as always, if you would like to read, here's the turtle. If you don't, just pass the turtle on to the next person. Verse 17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." The question we always ask first is, what are we talking about here? What does it mean?
Steve.
Yeah.
Because he had that was like his favorite Bible verse. And what that explains, when someone is down, someone can get you right back up. And it's iron sharpens iron. It's kind of like a courage verse. Okay. Since you're down, I'm getting you right back up. You do not fight this alone.
Yeah. Coming alongside, helping build up. You were going to say? Okay. I didn't hear you.
People sharpen people, help people.
Yeah. The idea that we all have an opportunity to come alongside, and Nate makes me better a little bit, and I make Nate better a little bit. I don't know what I'm going to give to you, but you help me, right? And so. So there's those things. We have friends. We have people at church. One of the things that we've talked about a lot is this idea of church. What's the whole purpose of it?
Encourage each other.
It's to encourage each other. It's to come alongside and build that community.
Yes.
And sharpen one another in our walk and in our presence, our thought process.
Encouraging that, Christians need to be with other Christians to improve each other's faith. I think also within Christian groups, finding other Christians that are your age group, even your understanding of your spiritual maturity, that helps grow it even further. Just making those intimate connections with specific people within the church.
Yeah. Think about this one group here. We have three or four different churches, depending on the night. We have three or four churches represented in this group tonight that we're all sharpening one another, right? And we all go back to whatever church we're at, and we're sharpening one another. So those are awesome opportunities. What categories would you then assign verse 17?
Wise,
okay.
Counsel,
good.
I looked up the meaning of the word countenance. Actually, it's a French word, but it talks about behavior. Countenance comes from a French word for behavior, but it has become a fancy term for either the expression of a face or the face itself.
So you would say our countenance? You want to write in that word?
How do you spell that?
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
Countenance?
Countenance.
Our countenance.
C period.
Sounds like you're saying count, Dracula.
Where did you get that word?
Yeah,
which? Huh?
Countenance?
I Googled it.
No, what does your...
So that's what
NIV.
That's what my New King James says. It says, the last part of the verse says, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
Okay, that's why
and I was like, okay, The countenance is, it comes from a French word for behavior, but they say it has become a fancy term for either the expression of your face or the face itself.
It's used again in Genesis.
Yeah.
When Cain, with the whole exchange of Cain and Abel, God asked Cain, he said, why is your countenance fallen?
Yeah.
So, was that O or count?
Yeah.
No, almost.
When I look at that, I see an account.
E-N-A. Instead of an E-I, it's an A in there.
Where?
The last part, yeah. A-N-Z. Instead of nints, yeah.
It's A-N-Z-E.
Yeah, take out the E and the I and just put an A.
I was with you, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to see you, period.
I got it.
I
thought it was interesting that, you know,
it is.
That's what a friend is supposed to. It sharpens our countenance. It sharpens our behavior. It sharpens our... Some days I'm sure my face does not tell a good story, is what I was
thinking. Well, I don't mind us, so...
So I'm like, okay, on the days my face is not telling a good story, I really need my friends to go, you know, and cheer me up and help me, you know, to be cheerful and...
Good.
Yeah.
I think, there's certainly a continual thing. As you use a tool, it'll get more dull over time. And so, like, as Christians are on walks, we should be, you know, using our knowledge, what we learn from one another, but that's also going to drive us to come together more to get sharpened once again. It's just a continual cycle of growth that is just more exponential the more people you get together, sharpened in different ways.
Good.
And I agree with the wise thing. I think that is definitely
wise. So our new write-in is countenance. Good call, Scott. We're going to add more.
You've been under influence too.
Influence.
Accountability.
Yeah. Influence, accountability. So far we've had wise, countenance, counsel. You just said accountability. And influence. Influence is over here in number 4 at the bottom.
You could go generosity too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Generosity. That's really good. That's another write in. No, it's not.
It's up in the top.
We have that. It's in the top. Yeah, good. Whew. Awesome.
Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored.
What kind of fruit?
Fig tree.
Fig
fruit.
Figs are
good. So what are we talking about? Do we have what version are you reading out of? Probably the NIV because it read the same way as mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have another version?
I got an ESV.
Okay. What does it say?
Verse 18. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And he who gains his master will be honored.
Okay.
Gains?
Take a second.
Guards.
Guards.
My bad.
Oh, okay.
Guards his master would be honored.
Okay. We guard the master. All right.
It kind of sounds like it'd be number one in duty.
Yeah, there you go. A duty. So what are we describing here? What's the duty that he's describing?
So God has given us, you know, the choice of free will. But when we choose to follow him, the commandments are our duty to follow.
Good.
I don't know. That's not terrible.
Do what?
Be a servant.
Be a servant. Yeah.
So it could go into duty.
Yeah. Duty. Verse 18 can go into duty. So when you're tending something, what are you doing?
Taking care
you're getting attached to it because you care for it, so it you learn to love it.
Good.
Being a diligent worker.
Yeah, it could be a diligent worker. Verse 18.
It would be cruel to not reward somebody. You know, it talks about eating its fruit, you know, for somebody who's done that duty part. You know, they've done their job in keeping the tree.
Yeah, keeping the tree. The most important part of that, now that we understand that we're actually taking care of the tree, he's likening that to looking after your boss, looking after your master, looking after the one who's in authority over you. And you may not always agree, but you always watch out, right?
So through obedience to that, then you are being righteous.
Yep. Obedience, 18, obedience, righteous, content. That would be good.
Faithfulness.
Faithful.
You could put it in diligent worker.
Yep, diligent worker.
Compassionate.
No, they haven't yet. Compassion would be good too.
Honor.
Yes, honor. Good. Verse 19.
As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man.
Okay. Read the first part again.
As in water, face reflects face.
Okay. The NIV uses the words as water reflects a face. So it takes out some of that confusion. A man's heart reflects. So a man's heart reflects the man. Okay. What are we talking about here?
So I think it's for like
truth.
The person that you see yourself being is the person that you are. So say like you see yourself like being an angry person and everything else, and you look in your mirror and you're like, do I really want to become that? That's what it's saying. It's like you are what you are. You are. And like one person used to tell me, being around a bunch of people, that's the person you're gonna become.
Right.
So that's what it's saying.
Good.
Water's going to reflect what's there. It's not going to be. It's not going to be distorted. I mean, it might be distorted, but it's not going to be. It's going to be what's actually there. So, things come from the heart. So, if your heart is bad, you're going to say bad things, do bad things.
Good. Kind of like that, yep. You know, when we look at what he's always talking about, these quarreling people, right? Solomon is always talking about. Well, if you're married to a quarreling woman or you're married to a quarreling person, I like to look at this as the inner beauty is what we need to pay attention to. What's in the heart is reflected on the outside, right? And we can see what's in their heart from what is on the outside. Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
Like you can't look in a pond of water and with your face and see a dog.
You're right.
That's true.
Wait a minute.
So somebody with a pure heart, you're going to see that.
Mm-hmm. A duck?
I said you can't look in a pond with your face.
Oh.
There's King James on that one.
says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart.
Yeah.
But I can fake a smile, I can fake a lot of things, but not let you inside to see what's really there.
Correct.
So that's more of an illusion.
Yeah, you could look at this many ways, right? We could look at this, we can be deceptive, illusion, but the other side is the heart is going to reflect the truth of who you are. In the times that we don't see you, right? Or you don't think we're looking, people will see you for who you really are when you don't think they're looking.
Yeah.
All right, so we have truth. Verse 19, we have illusion.
Heart,
yeah.
Heart.
And then what about path?
How about integrity?
That's a good one.
Yeah, integrity. With path, I could. How would you describe that?
Path.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's talking about a water reflects. Face reflects a face. So, like, you know, God's giving that free will and that message of saying you can go this way and that's the person you're going to become and go that way. Or you can go this way. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of giving us the path of that one.
Very good.
It's all that free will.
It's your delusion.
Illusion, yep. And integrity, yep.
What about influence?
Yeah, I think that could work. Influence.
I mean, I can't say everyone, you know, I can't speak for everyone in the world, but there's some people use idols and they want to become that.
Right.
And that's a reflection.
Yep. And who we are is... Yep. Good. Verse 20.
Okay. Shiloh and Abaddon are never satisfied and people's eyes are never satisfied.
What?
Okay. So, do we have another version that gives us different words?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear Tom's
version.
It's always interesting.
It is. Death and destruction never seem satisfied. Neither are the desires of a man's heart.
Yeah. Very good.
A little different.
Oh,
now I can.
Yes.
Okay. So, this may be the NIV. Yes. I said King James Version. New King James.
So what are we talking about? What are we describing in this verse?
Death and destruction. People always want more. You can't be content.
So the idea that hell, death, destruction, I mean, destruction is never satisfied. Death is never satisfied. Everyone's going to die, right? Yeah. Interesting that it's a proverb that death is never satisfied.
The wording in the online one that I follow says the grave and the world beyond will receive humanity and will never become full. They're used here as figures of something that can never be satisfied. I thought that was interesting because I was like, what does, you know, hell and destruction have, you know, why that example?
When you stop and think, years ago we reached the number of people that we are on the earth. But as we've read in Genesis and Exodus, as we went through the book of Hebrews, and we saw that from the foundations of the world, God had created everything, but if they didn't have faith, then they were going to hell. It, now that we have the opportunity to not just look at what's going on in nature and realize that there is something more, right? That's the way Moses' faith was given to him, or accounted to him. Abraham's faith, Adam's faith, all of them saw that there was something more, and they realized that there's something more. In that knowledge of something more, they came to understand that, right? Through God. There's a lot of people, and hell's not full yet.
It's not.
You know, there's a lot of people that have died in my lifetime. That's only 50-some years. There's a lot of people that have died long before me and long before you. And some have accepted Christ and some have not. That's where it's giving this idea, this demonstration that death is never satisfied, right? There's not a cap on the number of people that are going to die. I mean, God knows that number, but there's not a... At some point, we will not die, right? But for now, until Christ returns and sets up the new kingdom and we live for eternity, death is never satisfied. So then when you have that example going forward, neither are my desires, the things I want. And we have to guard against that, don't we? Yeah.
So it ties into greed and coveting.
Yeah, so that ties in right directly into greed and coveting, verse 20. That's greed, coveting, selfishness. Yeah.
Contentment.
When looking at the idea that we need to be content and we need to have self-control, it's the good opposites there, right?
That's your collision. Because we live in this... So talk about living this illusion that I'll be contented someday, but there's always something more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like there's this, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So we can have the illusion, right? The things that we want can give us an illusion that that's enough. But unless we're founding that in Christ, we're never going to be satisfied. Our thirst for the knowledge, the thirst to understand, to thirst to have peace. Because mm-hmm. sometimes we get in a point in our life where I just need a little bit of quiet. If I can get a 6-hour nap, I'll be good, right? Ooh. Yeah, everybody wants a 6-hour nap. Just a nap, right? But then...
It's like a long
sleep. Right. 2 times a day. But... At the end of that, you're not really rested. You're still tired. You want something more. It just wasn't enough.
That's why I said fools.
Yeah, that would be a fool's thing. Yeah, very good.
Well, there's a couple of them on the right side. I'll say check path.
Yeah.
Because I say the whole path we walk.
Right.
Okay, I'm not saying we do, but.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's a trail that we can get on. You know, when we get a fork in the road, you can make a choice. It's a path. Any other categories? 21.
The crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is tested by the praise accorded him.
So So what are we talking about when we're let's take this verse, kind of break it in half so we understand what we're talking about. This crucible, does anybody know what a crucible is?
Nope.
It's a cup. It's a tin cup for either tin or ceramic that holds silver the silver won't melt it.
Right. Yeah. The cup withstands the heat.
Yeah.
And the silver melts within the cup. Same for gold, right? Okay, so that's refinement. And so a man is tested by the praise that he receives.
Is that a humility thing?
It can be a humility thing.
Oh, you're tested. If you get enough praise, are you
going to...
The NIV uses the words, but man is tested by the praise he receives.
The Amplified goes on and says, and his response to it, whether humble or firm.
And his response, whether it's humble or good. So the testing is whether you're being humble or you're puffed up. Yeah.
Pride.
Yeah, so if we go directly to the categories, this is immediately talking about pride. And selfish.
So when I first read that, I was focused on the refining, mine says refining pot, and then that is valued by others. And it made me think of what we said earlier about iron, sharpening iron. And my first thought was it was talking about if you allow others to refine you, you will be valued. Is that off the mark?
I would say it's a little off the mark, right? But your value will be seen in the refinement, right?
I like that. It's you do something challenging, and then you get the praise. But for the Christian, the challenge comes with the praise, I guess, not falling into that praise. You know, you do this really difficult task, but then you're really tested when it comes to after that, I guess.
Yeah.
She gives the glory to God.
Yeah, so do what?
Give the glory. You need to give the glory to God.
Yeah, giving glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Humility comes in with that. Because it's talking about that we are seen by others, do you think this has anything to do with influence? Others see those behaviors?
Yeah.
And how we behave?
Somebody's going to be more open to praise than they are to criticism.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that will fly the pen, you know, vinegar, whatever you want to say.
Yeah. Often do the praise sandwich, praise, a little bit of critical, and praise them again. So if they remember,
start on good, end on good.
Start on good, end on good, and get it straightened out in the middle.
I think it also tells a lot.
The vinegar
about a
and the wine.
I think it also tells a lot about a
you say honey or wine.
And how they
honey.
Handle praise
it's
and
in
how they give praise
about the vinegar and the wine.
Oh yeah.
What are we? Sorry, I could see praise for what you know.
So we typically receive praise for the good things that
we've done.
Yeah.
But where were your heart in the beginning? Was it to receive that praise?
Right. Were you in it for the praise, or were you just in it to... It was the intention, right? Say what you just said again, because I think it goes together.
I think it shows a lot about a person and how they respond to praise.
Yeah.
And also how they give praise as well.
The other part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
The response and the giving.
It goes back to the verse, wherever that verse was, that reflection thing. It really reflects them as a person as well as their heart condition.
Okay. It's almost like a kindness. Someone's have something over here. Okay. Almost like a kindness. Good. It could. Yeah.
And I think
being content.
I think we often don't think of it this way, but that it can be a process of, like it says, of refining. Because I was trying to figure out, how does it connect?
Right.
It wasn't connecting for me. And I'm like, oh, okay. So actually that process of praise is a process of refinement as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never thought about that way before.
Isn't God neat?
He is.
Verse 22.
Who grinds his wheel in mortar, grinding him like grain with a pestle, he will not remove his folly from him.
Okay. Does everyone know what a mortar and a pestle are?
Yeah.
Okay. So a mortar is a big, heavy marble or heavy dish. And the pestle is the stick that you stick inside it and grind all the whatever it is. You crush grain or you crush spices or...
Oh.
For my girls, you had to crush the Bayer aspirin so they could put it in water, ice cream, whatever. No, so a mortar and a pestle, that's what we're talking about. So you grind inside the
wall. Walgreens or CVS's logo?
Yeah.
Think of it also like corn milk, right?
Do what?
Think of it as also like making corn milk. Like you put corn in there and
then... Yep.
Yeah. Same thing.
Oh, so rather than explain a mortar and pestle, he has a better version here.
Says you can beat a fool half to death and still never beat the fool of suicide.
Yeah. So there you go.
I like how I just got to it, man.
Check it out. Fools are foolish forever.
Yeah.
Well, think about how many verses we've had that have talked about a fool and how it does no good to argue with them or... That really gives a vivid picture as to the why.
And let's go back to the definition that we put together a long time ago of these groups. So we have wise people who understand and knowledge and all that. We have the wicked people who are like the scorners. The scorners are those who have heard the truth and they reject it and turn their back on it, right? The simple person hasn't heard and is mostly ignorant of what's going on, right? They can see, but they're not really using their ability of... They're not employing their critical thinking abilities. They're just being very simple and ignoring things, right? But the fool has heard the truth. They haven't completely rejected it, but they like to argue about it. That's the
Judaizers.
Yeah. There you go. It's a good... They would be a good group of people that would be that. They haven't completely rejected the whole idea, but they just like to argue about it, and they're not... Well, we got to add more to it, right? We got to add more.
Just for the sake.
So you're never going to be able... No matter... I like that idea that, you know, there's no matter how much you grind on them, how much you yell at them, how much you press on them, a fool isn't going to change their foolishness just because you said, right? Something has to actually happen in their life to cause them to change.
You grind the corn, the aspirin, you set up corn and aspirin.
Yep. So what categories could we assign this to?
Fools.
Yeah, fools. Verse 22, that's where we are. 22.
Instruction.
Instruction? Good.
I said truth.
Truth? Yep. What's it say?
Foolish, and they're awfully prideful.
Yep.
Pride? What about drunkenness?
No. That is a foolish behavior.
Greed is foolish.
Yes. Greed is also a foolish behavior.
Selfish?
The person is definitely selfish, yes. And so when we look at the positive side, so how do we, as people who follow Christ, how would we say, well, let's interpret that, what life application do I need to have for my life out of this verse? Obedience. That's a good one.
Patience.
We've all been that fool at one time some point. And I think it just goes to show how great Jesus' actions were at the cross. That our base level component is foolishness, is folly, and yet Jesus still can take such a deep corruption like that and make you white as snow.
Yeah, so then we get a little bit of grace and mercy there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, accountability. Yeah. Yeah, take that instruction that come alongside.
Influence.
Good. Come on in, sir. We're in chapter 27, verse 22. Are there any other categories you would assign? All right, so here's the way we're going to do the remaining of the chapter, 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27, will all actually go as one group, okay? But I would like to read each one of them. And let's talk about each. If we get to a if we get to a place where we can stop. So, like verses 23 and 24 all go together. We'll stop, pause. We'll talk about them. Then we'll continue on with 25 and 26, and then we'll pause, and then we'll finish up with 27. And then we'll put all of these together and find out what categories we want to assign this set this. One entire thought process of a proverb, okay? Because all five of these verses go together in this proverb. Does that make sense? Okay. So verses 23 and 24, please.
Be diligent to know the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations.
Okay. What are we talking about there? Can we summarize those two verses?
Nothing lasts forever.
Nothing lasts forever. And pay attention. Yeah. Pay attention. Nothing lasts forever. So what's next? 25 and 26.
When the grass is gone and the new growth appears, the vegetation of the mountains is gathered. The lambs will provide the clothing, and the goats will price the field.
Okay.
It's kind of like harvest time.
Yeah, but it's harvest. So far we have pay attention, nothing lasts forever. There is a harvest. So now, what does verse 27 say?
Be
We have plenty of goat's milk to feed you and your family and to nourish your servant girls.
Okay. So if we're paying attention and realize nothing lasts forever, what's the next one that we said? That there's plenty during harvest. And if you put that up and you store it, you'll have plenty at the end, right? So what are we describing here?
Diligence and accountability.
Diligence and accountability right off the bat, right?
Stewardship.
Stewardship.
I think you can tie this into the New Testament, salvation.
Yeah, salvation.
Instruction.
Instruction.
Plans. Diligent
workers. Diligent workers. Plans. Instructions. Yeah.
Salvation, plant the seed and harvest the seed.
Yep. Salvation. Dan said that. Yep. Salvation is right there. I also kind of saw this as a blessing. Plans. Yep. Plans. A blessing.
Discernment.
Yeah, being discerning about what you're paying attention to, right?
It's over 23 through 27.
Go ahead.
The condition of your flocks. Even I kind of look at it, even like as a. Like your church,
mm-hmm.
the people you shepherd, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the faithfulness of God, and we'll provide for you.
The faithfulness?
That's what I was kind of getting out of it, that God provides everything that we need. Because he's talking about how you'll get clothing from the lambs, milk from the goats, you know. All of that is created by God. So yeah. I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
That we
pretend
that we have because everything we have is God's.
Very good.
I think this could also be in that realm of patience again, because if you read through here, the path to get through it, the time frame is not short.
Patience.
You know, patience. It's, you know,
yeah. It takes a while for the sheep to grow the wool, and it takes a little while for the crops to grow, and it takes a while for the goats to fatten up and make milk and do all the things, right? That is definitely a gift from God. Protector.
Also be duty.
Duty. Protection. Duty in our work. Diligence. So as you look at your sheet tonight, we're going to kind of wrap this up because we've got about 5 more minutes. As you look at the sheet and as you look at back at what we've been talking about today, each one of them kind of ran into the same areas this time. What would you say is something that we can take away and apply throughout the rest of the week as we just work for the next 3 days to get to Sunday to be encouraged again? Yes, sir.
To be discerning and having patience.
Yep.
And honoring God.
Discernment, patience, and honoring God in what we do. Yep.
Or the people around us.
Yep.
Or if some are nice, or if some are mean, as watching The Chosen, and God was saying, forgive them and still show them love and mercy.
Right.
70 times 77 times 70.
Yeah.
Having gratitude for what we do have instead of like complaining about what we've done.
Yep. Gratitude. Knowing that God provides for all the things that we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that you said that stuck with me the most is hell's not full yet. And as well as that, like, just knowing that our time here is short, so we need to help encourage others and be a good example for them.
Yeah. It's a frightening thought when we think of it that way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, it's a sobering thought.
I think it challenges us, too, to... Going back, there's so many heart issues in here. Are we really reflecting what we want to, you know, which is Christ?
Yep. And the good thing of that is heaven's not full yet either. There's plenty of room.
Ooh, so that means I get like a pretty big house then.
My
well,
father's house has many rooms.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago we learned that... you know, when Jesus does come and returns and the new kingdom comes down, it's 1,500 miles long by 1,500 miles wide by 1,500 miles tall.
So you're saying that him and I can become bunkmates in heaven?
That's awesome.
Cool. That one's going to be a bunch of Scooby Snacks there.
You're not right. All right. Well, thank you all for being here this evening. Let's have a word of prayer and thank God for our time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And we thank you for our opportunity to sit and talk with one another and talk through Proverbs. It's to me, it's a daunting book. And with the help of others, we can get through it and things make sense, and we appreciate the opportunity to iron sharpen iron and so come alongside one another. Pray, Lord, that we would be discerning. We would show patience this week, and we would come alongside others to encourage them and show them the opportunity of what hope and living for you really looks like. Pray, Lord, that you just give us a great evening. Give us a good rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'll be going on vacation.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited.